Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we start out with a story from Richard Cahill, who you can find on Scriggler.com and at his website, RichardCahill.net. And here is Cancel My Reservation for Mars. I picked up an article about people practicing living on Mars the other day. In this experiment, they lived high on the slopes of Mauna Loa in Hawaii, where the air is thin and cold, inside a cramped tube where they pretended to have very little air or water. They wore mock spacesuits when they went outside. They hauled ass into lava tubes on short notice because on Mars, lava tubes would provide a nice shelter from solar flares, which we don't feel on Earth because we have a nice, cushy atmosphere. But on Mars, it would cook you like a human hot pocket if you were caught outside in one. They are absolutely forbidden from going into Hilo on the weekend for a Mai Tai and a big poo-poo platter, because that would screw up their mission of seeing how long they could live in close contact with only five other people, under simulated conditions of extreme danger, without going completely batshit. Needless to say, these are better human beings than I am or anybody that is reading this is likely to be. Which is good, because it takes a good human being to live on a shitty planet, and Mars has a lot of fecal qualities as a planetary body. In real estate terms, it's a major fixer-upper. Personally, I think NASA ought to spend its money developing a warp drive so we could visit the planets full of hooker-looking space women in fishnet pantyhose that were regularly discovered by the Starship Enterprise on the original Star Trek. But nobody asked me, so it looks like Mars it is, despite the fact that Mars is no picnic. First, it's cold. Your average Martian surface temperature hovers around minus 50 degrees. That's Fahrenheit, which I use because I'm an American and we don't believe in centigrade. Minus 50 is brisk. Sure, I hear you saying, but it gets that cold in Antarctica and people survive there. I admit that it's cold at the South Pole, sometimes as cold as it is on Mars. And yes, at any given time you can open the flap of your Antarctic tent and be struck by a howling frigid wind, which in Antarctica seems freezingly inconvenient, but on Mars would be regarded as a big-time bonus because that icy blast would be full of life-sustaining oxygen, which Mars does not have. So, the most important position on your Mars crew would be that of air farmer, the guy who goes out every day and cultivates oxygen for you to breathe. There is no job like his on Earth. The closest equivalent is the air guitarist, who is just a guy in a karaoke bar drunk enough to think he is a member of Led Zeppelin. So, not that close. The second most important job on Mars is that of the water maker, the guy who finds some billion-old sludge deep beneath the Martian sands and filters enough H2O out of it so you can rinse the Martian dust out of your mouth a couple times a day. No matter how nice the bottles he puts this water in, or how gushy the slogans printed on their labels are, even slogans like glacier-fed, probably, when there used to be glaciers here, or bottled at the source, before it sublimated directly into the extremely rarefied atmosphere, my bet is that the taste of the stuff is going to make Tucson tap water seem like crystal. Of course, if humans are going to colonize Mars, they're going to have sex on Mars. Ah, you think, this is going to be the fun part. Well, you may be wrong. First off, there is no MartianMatch.com. Your soulmate is your crewmate, with whom you have lived along with four other astronauts for the 9 months it took you to get to Mars in a rocket capsule the size of an Airstream trailer. I'm sure you've heard that relationships need space. By that, nobody means outer space. You need to conserve water on Mars, because the water-making guy is a major slacker, so each of you only gets to take 1 6-minute shower a week. In the interest of libidinosity, They better be on consecutive days, especially if you both have the habit of spending hours outside in a sweaty spacesuit. You've still got those four other people to deal with, too, so you'd better hope they just sit around silently wishing they had a beer while you get it on behind some flimsy curtain or other useless imitation of privacy instead of making funny comments. On the other hand, you can legitimately use a pickup line I've tried several times when I was feeling heavily sociable at a singles bar. Just set your drink down, lean in to your intended urgently, and say, "The future of humanity on this planet depends on us having sex right now. Let me know if it works better on Mars." And now, The Return of the Modern Philosopher, a blog on WordPress, has more dating tips for you. Here is How to Date Like the Tin Man. I may not be ready to jump back into the dating game, modern philosophers, but that doesn't mean I can't dispense more of my amazing dating advice. Recently, I waited out a thunderstorm at my favorite pub. As the wind rattled the windows and the rain pounded down relentlessly, I enjoyed a pint with one of Maine's most well-known otherworldly beings, the Tin Man. It's not common knowledge that my friend from Oz is quite the ladies' man, but trust me when I tell you that there's a well-traveled yellow brick road that leads from all parts of Maine to his bedroom. When the topic of dating came around, my buddy was more than willing to share some tips that would allow you to be as successful at it as he is. Never ask the wizard for a heart. The Tin Man admits that the stupidest thing he ever did was to ask for a heart. The heart only gets in the way, and it's so easily broken. When he moved to Maine to enjoy the life of a bachelor on the prowl, he quickly got rid of the Wizard of Oz's gift. By dating without a heart, he claims he can enjoy himself without the worry of being hurt or the guilt that he might be hurting someone. If you eliminate the heart from the equation, the solution is always fun. Silver over gold. The Tin Man said it was a conscious decision to remain silver and slightly rusty rather than to upgrade to gold once he found fame and fortune. I want the ladies to love me for who I am, not for what's in my bank account. He claims that while he has no trouble spoiling that special someone, he's not looking to attract the kind of woman who likes shiny, expensive things. If she's all about material things, there's going to come a point when she'll expect more than I'm willing to buy. I always tell a date if she's looking for the gold, shiny version of me, she should go out with Iron Man. Keep it stiff. The Tin Man makes a point of not oiling himself before a date. I like to remind the ladies that my stiffness will work to their benefit. Apparently, "Do you want to oil me?" is a line that almost always guarantees the big guy is going to get lucky. Can I ax you a question? The Tin Man never goes out on a date without his trusty axe. He told me he made the mistake of doing that once, and he ended up getting attacked by flying monkeys and had no way to defend himself. You never know when a date is going to unleash the flying monkeys, so you always want to be prepared for the worst. You show up with an axe, and you send the message that you're prepared for anything. The Tin Man added that he's found women are turned on by a man who takes control, and the ones who wanted to handle his axe were the best in bed. The Friend Zone. Dating can be a very strange, confusing, and lonely world if things don't work out, so it's essential to surround yourself with a group of friends who are trustworthy, patient, and willing to kick the ass of anyone who hurts you. I might have been able to survive my journey through Oz on my own, but there is no way I'd be able to navigate the world of dating without my amigos. Much love to Dorothy, Scarecrow, and my bestie Leo. They have been my shoulders to cry on, my sounding boards, my therapist, my fashion advisors, and the ones who come running at 3 a.m. when there's a wicked witch in my place who just won't leave. There's no place like home. Always try to get a date back to your place. There is nothing like home field advantage, and to be quite honest, if she's willing to go back to your place, it's off to see the wizard, if you catch my drift. I have to admit, modern philosophers, that I thought the Tin Man's advice would be more eloquent instead of sounding like the wild barking of a raving horn dog. Then again, he was a bit tipsy, and I'm sure the big storm gave him flashbacks to the day Dorothy arrived in his old stomping ground somewhere over the rainbow. Regardless, I hope you found something in his tips that will come in handy either next time you were on a date or hopelessly lost in Oz. Good luck out there! And now, let's have some Does This Happen to You? News of the Week. This week gives up not one, but three stupid criminals. The first robbed a few convenience stores without covering his face. The camera captured great pictures of him. A concerned citizen saw the video on the news and promptly turned her son into police. She quickly answered the question, "Do you know this man?" with a firm, "Yes, that's my idiot son." Police in Louisiana picked up their escaped convict at the local bar after he called to turn himself in. He downed a beer while waiting for them. They paid his tab, and back to jail he went. His week on the lam did not live up to expectations. He says he will miss the beer, but in jail he doesn't have to pay for food. The accommodation is a step up from the homeless shelter, too. A kebab shop robbery averted by indecisive criminal in New Zealand. Owner claims he simply ignored the guy with a gun standing behind the counter. Robber claims he's shy and lets the gun talk. When neither the gun nor the store owner spoke, he changed his mind, deciding against a kebab and the money. Tour de France cyclist punches guy wearing a neon yellow feathered hat. The pink banana running just behind witnessed the entire incident, calling it a game of chicken the yellow hat lost. For their part, the cyclists ask the costume fans to give them space. They're fine with young ladies in string bikinis getting a little closer. This request doesn't include guys in blonde wigs and one-piece suits. Florida woman attempts to drive and pray at the same time, and local house suffers the consequences. While communing with God, she careened through a stop sign, up and over the sidewalk, and into the side of a house. Woman claims God said, "Look out for the house," although too late for her to stop. She tried to leave the scene, but her wheels stuck in the sand. She claims God told her the house belonged to non-believers, so it was okay to flee. Her oven broke, so a woman in Tennessee attempted to cook her brisket in the bathtub over an open flame. She claims her recipe simply said, "Roast until melting and brown." Firefighters broke the news the recipe worked for the fiberglass tub, which turned out perfectly. After they turned off the shower and the smoke cleared, the brisket remained red and wet. Thanks so much for listening. If you like this story or my podcast, please share and let me know. You'll find me on Twitter at ChrisKKArya, Pinterest, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Remember, it's Chris with a K. I'm always looking for fun stories to narrate, so if you're an author or a writer with a story which fits the Does This Happen to You theme, please contact me or comment on my Podbean page. Want to hear more stories like this more often? Please become my podcast patron. Just click the link on my Podbean page.